Hello, everyone. I have a USC mask on. Sorry. Sorry, is this a multi-campus fellowship?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I can take my mask off.
That wasn't an accident.
What exciting. So, which week is this since the USC started?
Third week
already. Wow, time is going fast. And how many weeks till the UC system starts?
Two more after this one?
Two more?
Four?
Oh, wow.
Way more.
UCLA, UC's really like their long breaks, don't they?
We finish later.
They finish later. All right. Welcome, people. It's good to be here. You know, when I come to college ministry, I like to say, college is fun. Okay, when I say college is, you say fun, okay?
What is college?
If I say college is again, you say fun and exciting. Fun and exciting. And then when I say college is the third time, you say fun and exciting because of Jesus. Okay, first time. College is
fun.
College is
fun and exciting.
College is
fun and exciting
because of Jesus.
That's my another call and response. So, let's see. Tonight's topic is on prayer life, but specifically to reflect on the Lord's Prayer. So let's go ahead and by the way, Stephen's sharing. Hey, good testimony, young man. I'm seeing God is really working in you. I fan you aflame. Continue to be hot for Jesus. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this Wednesday evening to bring our college folks together from different campuses, and so that we come together and unite our hearts to worship you and to acknowledge you, God. And Lord, we acknowledge you as a sovereign Lord who reigns over the universe and even orchestrates everything that we do, even tonight's Wednesday night rally. Every person who is in this rally, we believe that you have sovereignly brought for your purpose, so that our heart touched and encouraged, but also be taught by your word. So, Lord God, do what you have purposed through this meeting and for everyone, each individually. And by your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each of hearts. So bless this time in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. I have the list of people who is in fellowship. So do we have a new people's welcome? Oh, okay. New people, welcome. And the old people, welcome too. You notice I use different hands. Don't mind me. I'm an oldie, and the oldies are kind of corny, you know, and that's me. Okay. So, well, tonight I wanted to speak on prayer life. And not about a week ago, the professional ministry had a study on prayer. And so maybe it was because of that, or maybe it was because Jeremy spoke on word hand. Was that right? Word hand. And so it's only fitting that we talked about the word last week, so we could now talk about prayer life this week. And so let's see. What excites me about prayer and prayer life? Well, also recently, Jeremy interviewed me on a video and asking me, you know, how did I survive past 40 years of following Jesus and serving the Lord? And so I was talking about my early foundational years. And I said, it's because of, by God's grace, the blessing of his grace to help me enjoy, you know, just lots of prayer and lots of time in the Word. As you remember last week, Jeremy talked about the Word hand. You know about hearing the Word, reading the Word, studying the Word, memorizing the Word, and meditating on the Word. Well, because of my early experience, I really was blessed to enjoy each of those disciplines, plus prayer. The reason for prayer is because I come to recommit my life to the Lord through a prayer conference. And it was a Korean prayer conference. I'm not sure if you've been to a Korean, you know, conference, but they really pray. You know, it's like the roof will fall down. It feels like the roof is going to fall down. That's literally what happened. I went up to the, actually the roof didn't fall down, but the spiritual roof fell down. So my best friends really coerced me to go to a conference. And I've never been to a conference in my life before that. So I was forced to go up. I reluctantly dragged my feet and went there because of my friends. And first night, the pastor preached, and I don't remember what he said. But after he was done, I said, great, let's go to our rooms and have fun up there. And so we went up to the room, and then after, shortly, they said, oh, let's go down. We have a prayer meeting. What? Prayer meeting? I thought we were going to have fun. So I dragged myself down, but when I got there, they had a chair kind of, you know, made into a huge circle. Oh my goodness! And everybody sat down, and they were going around praying one by one. Can you believe it? Huge number of people. Actually, the ones 120 people went there, and so I'm not sure it was quite 120 in the room, but there's a lot of people. They went around one by one. Each person was praying. One by one, that's a long time. So my turn was coming, and I didn't pray more than 30 seconds in my life before that. I figured out a few sentences. Phew, my turn went by. But afterwards, I thought they were done, but then suddenly somebody turned off the light, and everybody started dragging their chairs into different corners, and they start praying aloud. Chio, you know? Koreans like, Lord is like, Chio. And so everybody was just shouting at the top of their lungs and praying, and oh my goodness, it was pretty scary. But anyway, at least it was in the dark. So I said, maybe I should listen to what they're praying about. So I listened to a girl next to me, but don't remember what she was saying, but I think she was confessing her sins. So I said, okay, well, maybe I should confess my sin. So I started to think about my earliest memory of sin. And I confessed it one by one by one by one. And I went through, you know, maybe elementary school, if I remembered anything then, and junior high school. I prayed a lot, confessing sins in high school, and then freshman and sophomore year, because I went up after sophomore year. When I finished, 2 hours went by. When I finished praying, I felt the Lord forgave me. God forgave me. And I just felt God also loved me. And so I just stopped and I said, I feel very light. That's great. That was a great experience. And I went back to room and sleep. And other people are still praying. But when I got up early in the morning, I felt like when I opened the door, the whole world looked different. It looked so much brighter. Unconfessed life, unconfessed heart has something, you know, a wool over them. And so, but when you confess your sin, somehow something is lifted away and the whole world looked brighter. And the people walking around, they look like angels. It's like they were floating or something, you know. But anyway, it's just me. Something happened to me and my heart changed. And starting from that point on, I just couldn't stop talking about Jesus. And the other thing that I really got from this conference is that I like praying. And so that junior year, that was the summer of end of sophomore year, that junior year, I really enjoyed praying a lot. I prayed almost pretty much in the average about an hour a day. And I remember times when I were praying in the afternoon. I do 30 minutes before lunch and 30 minutes before dinner. And I was praying and my mom said, "Mingan, come on down and eat." And I was just thinking, oh, I want to pray more. So something happened to me at the conference where the Holy Spirit really filled my heart and gave me a lot of desire. And that whole retreat was about prayer. And I really had a lot of heart for prayer. And because I enjoy prayer, my word life was even more abundantly full of grace. So Jeremy taught about the word life, right? Word hand. In order to enjoy the word hand, you need to really drench yourself in prayer. It just makes it so much more full of grace. But anyway, that's how I got started in prayer life. I wouldn't say my prayer life was, you know, like that all the time through all my years, but that just stands out as one of the full of grace early years that even, I believe, blessed me to just pursue the Lord all these years. So I wish such a prayer life and prayer experience for you. So the topic for today is the importance of the Lord's Prayer and growing in prayer life. Okay, so it comes from, let's see, Matthew 6. And Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray. So before we talk about this, how Jesus, you know, teaches us about prayer, we kind of have this acronym, ACTS. You know, for new Christians, when they begin to learn how to pray, we teach them ACTS. ACTS is a good acronym because it refers to the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit came and people started praying and, you know, amazing miracles happened. So, you know, book of Acts is about prayer. But apart from that, A stands for, in prayer, adoration. Adoration. It's like you're adoring someone. Of course, our adoration is not on a girl. Even though you could adore a girl, right? A guy? Do girls adore guys?
Usually not,
but the guys adore girls. Well, we, of course, being spiritual as we are, we adore God. We adore God. So it's another expression for maybe in the Bible, praising God and giving. You know, and Thanksgiving is kind of included, but adoring God mostly refers to praising God. You could praise God for who He is, and you could thank God for what He does. You know, but adoring refers to generally highly adoring who God is. C stands for confession. Confession, and this is to acknowledge our sins before God. And we start off with confession and repentance when we receive Christ. But it doesn't mean because we confessed and repented to receive Christ that we don't have to confess our sins anymore. But we need to continue to cleanse ourselves. It's like, you know, Peter said to Jesus, If you're going to wash my feet, wash my whole body. And Jesus said, your whole body is already clean. I just need to wash your feet. So when you receive Christ, you're completely forgiven. Your whole body is forgiven, but your life touches the earth. You know, your feet touches the ground, like our life touches the world. And so we need to daily confess our sins. So the third thing is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And of course, you know, this is part of the command. You know, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. You know, this is actually quite of a important thing to for us to do, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. A person who confesses, you know, I was listening to the radio, a mark of a spirit-filled Christian is are those people who confesses diligently and who gives thanks always. Thanks always. And lastly, supplication. S stands for supplication. And supplication is supplicating, you know, asking. Asking first about other people, making requests about other people, and then making supplication for yourself. But as you can see in the Lord's Prayer, you could supplicate for something even higher, something more important than even others and yourself. Okay? So I just wanted to do a review on the basic prayer guidelines that we like to teach people, but these things actually are in the Lord's Prayer. I just wanted to share this so we can kind of identify what part of this prayer is one of these, you know? So without further ado, let's go to Matthew 6 to see how Jesus teaches his disciple and also us about how to pray and to grow in our prayer life, okay? But actually, even before this, I wanted to kind of review what Jesus says not to do. These are the prayers that he wants us to pray in. But in the previous verse, can somebody read that for us? Chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. Verse 6 through 8, you know, is kind of Jesus is setting the situation so that the disciples will actually ask Jesus, how do you pray? And he gives the answer. But he actually shares a couple of things that we should not do. Should not do. Okay, go ahead.
But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
So the verse 5 says, when you pray, you are not to be like hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in synagogue and on the street corner so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their rewards in full, but you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees that in secret will reward you. So, you know, the Pharisees, they love to pray gloriously in public. And so that they would get recognized. But God said, don't work on your prayer publicly. I mean, if you go to big churches and when there's a lot more people, there's a lot of subtle competition. I've been through it, so I know it. It's like, the person who prays most well publicly are the most spiritual. So there's a subtle competition. How do I learn how to pray more, you know, gloriously in public? And so it's not like it only happened in Jesus' days among the Pharisees. It happens in the churches. So we shouldn't be focusing on how to look good in front of people praying well. With, you know, awesome, you know, very sophisticated, you know, glorious prayer. Well, I don't want to totally get down on that. You know, we want to pray sincerely to God. Well, but then our primary pursuit, Jesus said, should be to pray to our God in heaven, in the private, in the secret. So before you learn how what to say, Jesus is already telling you, you know, how do you position yourself, in public or private? Private prayer life is more important than public. Secondly, he says, when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before even you ask. So it's saying that, I guess this pagans were, you know, not Yahweh worshipers. They would just kind of repeat words. I don't know what they would say, but gimme. I don't know. or repeating. I don't know. So I know that Koreans sometimes do. They do repeat hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, just like as though the word is like used as an incantation or something, like to draw some presence, you know. So, but anyway, Jesus says, don't do that. Don't do that. And you don't have to use a lot of words or repetitive words. But basically what it's saying is that, you know, you use few words, but be sincere. But be sincere. Just don't try to even usher the presence of God through some incantation or repetitive words. We need to talk to God. So basically, that's what Jesus is doing, how to pray sincerely in the secret. This is the context of this Lord's Prayer. We also kind of pray this at the end of our worship. But actually, when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, this prayer is not for the sake of liturgy. You know, it's not something we should just say it together and saying this same prayer is the only prayer. But this prayer was meant as a guidance. What kind of prayers we should offer to God. Does that make sense? It's a model, example of what kind of prayers we should offer to God. Okay, so it doesn't mean you cannot pray this. Our Father who art in heaven. I mean, I like actually praying this every night. I recite, you know, pray this prayer and then start praying for other stuff. So actually it's quite helpful. It's pretty powerful actually. So, but how does Jesus teach the disciples to pray? Here it is. Let's go through it. I'm not going to be writing a book about this, but let's just make a few comments and move on. First thing Jesus teaches us to pray is, he says, pray then in this way. Verse 9, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. So first, Jesus wants us to pray to God the Father. Pray to God the Father. Jesus himself calls the Father righteous Father, holy Father, heavenly Father. So Jesus wants us to pray to the Father. But in the book of John, he says he also prayed to me, so we could pray to Jesus as well. But he also says in John 14, pray in his name. So we are called to generally pray to the Father. And I know Paul prays to God the Father and to the Son, to his Son Jesus. So we can pray to God the Father and the Son, But in this, Jesus' teaching, he says, pray to our Father in heaven. And hallowed be your name. Hallowed means may your name be sacred and be holy. So it's kind of lifting up, adoring and revering and considering the name of God sacred. So what, which prayer would this be from the Acts acronym? What is it? Adoring or praising God. So Jesus is teaching us how to pray to the Father, praising and adoring his name. So we really need to then, if you want to adore his name, you need to get to know God. You need to get to know God, and you need to really know his name. My earlier, awareness of who God is it was a sovereign God, because he orchestrated my life to himself, to this life in Christ. And so I knew God as a sovereign God who is good. And even though I've, you know, learned a lot about God in my undergraduate years, when I went to STP, I went to an 8-month STP on prayer.
8 week.
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. Not 8 months. Sorry. 8 months is a little long. I went to an 8-week STP. 8 week. We just went through 3 1-week STP, right? I went to 8-week STP on prayer. On prayer. And I was a team leader. So for the team leaders, we had a special training. We studied the attributes of God. We wrote a couple of page paper, single, you know, space on every attribute that we studied. And I began to know God. And we had a prayer closet. We were in San Jose. We rented one of the sororities. And sororities have lots of closets. And so they would designate prayer room number one, prayer room number two, number three. So I used to really, you know, that after I graduated, a year after I graduated, going to that prayer STP, I came to a new level of prayer. I discovered praising, what it means to praise God. You know, how great and mighty he is. I was thinking about this, you know, National Geography, they kind of give you these maps inside the geography. And there was a map of the solar system. But the thing is, solar system shrinks into this little dot in a Milky Way galaxy. Milky Way galaxy shrinks into this dot of clusters of galaxy. Clusters of galaxy reduces into other clusters of galaxy. And there's some empty space. And then more. Oh my goodness, when I was looking at that, oh, this universe is huge. And when I was in the closet, I was saying, God, you are great. You are amazingly great to have created every little star, every galaxy, clusters of galaxy, and clusters of galaxy. Oh my goodness, my mind was just kind of like going out into the universe. And all the attributes of God I studied, you know, I was just praising God for who he is. So I hope you grow in this. This is how you grow in the prayer of praise and adoration. Amen? So, and Jesus teaches us to do that. Hallowed be your name. So we need to lift up his name. Next, verse 10 is, he says, hallowed be your name. And then it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is now. So which category would this fall into? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Among the acts. It is a supplication. Is it about yourself? Is it about others? This is what I mean. This is one of the higher form of supplication. Something grander. Something that is, you know, not only for me, but his huge kingdom in heaven will be on earth. Wow, wow, wow. So typically I used to meditate on this just as, you know, God, Jesus wants us to pray that as things are done in the kingdom of God in heaven, in the same way, it will be done on earth with similar, you know, perfection of obedience, that his will be done on earth. So, you know, I used to pray, and I still do, God, would your kingdom come in my life? Would your kingdom come in our ministry and in the lives of each brothers and sisters? Your kingdom will come into their lives. Would your kingdom come in our you know, community? Would your kingdom come in our church? Would your kingdom come in the United States? So we need to ask, this is a supplication, God, would things done in heaven be done on earth the way you do it in heaven? So that's one way you can pray. God, you know, may your kingdom come into my life, into my friend's life, my parents' life, my family's life. You know, I think this is a pretty powerful prayer. But the other meaning is, as God's presence is, you know, so full in the kingdom of heaven, that his presence will be also on earth. Not only would his will be done, but his presence will be felt powerfully. So I hope, beside many other supplication we're going to talk about, that we would supplicate, ask a very high level, you know, concern that God's kingdom will come on earth and his will be done the way it is done in heaven, and his presence will be as powerful as it is in heaven. Amen? So there's a high level supplication I want to introduce to you. This is what Jesus is teaching us to pray. Next is, give us this day our daily bread. Oh my goodness, from that such high level supplication to
food.
But it is a supplication, but it's a need for ourselves. But it says, give us. Give us. It's a plural. So we shouldn't be asking just things for myself. Ask for our community. Ask for our family. Ask for our country. So give us this day our daily bread. So, you know, daily bread starts with, you know, physical bread. Everybody needs food. I just had jjajangmyeon. That was great. I was really hungry. So, somebody likes jjajangmyeon. So that's good. We eat physical food, and when we eat, we're satisfied. But of course, Satan came along tempting Jesus, make this rock into bread and eat. And what did Jesus say? Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. And is that right? And who is the bread? Jesus is the bread. So I like to think it's a request for both physical bread, but also spiritual bread. Spiritual bread. So give us this day our daily bread. You know, provide for us all that we need. So it's about physical food and spiritual food, but it's also referring to all that we need, you know, in this life. There's many other things that we need, and this is inclusive in this prayer. Give us this day everything that we need, right? And, of course, how to receive that is pretty, you know, obvious in Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then what does he promise? And all these things will be added unto you as well. Kaushik, I haven't seen you in a while. Where are you? Oh, there he is. Okay, Kaushik, you memorize that. Remember that. Memorize that for us. Don't look at the screen. Matthew 6:33, what does that say?
Ask and it will be
but,
given to you.
But seek?
Oh, but seek his kingdom first.
Oh, you need to turn on the speaker.
Oh, you do it.
Oh, I do?
Muted?
No, we can hear you.
Okay.
Can you? Okay. So, but seek first his... Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you too.
Okay, yeah, it says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Nice, good job.
All right. Kashik didn't forget. I'm trying to keep him on his toes. But of course, it's not only to be memorized, it's to be lived out. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you as well. Daily bread can refer to all these things as well. Okay? So this is a supplication. God, Jesus wants us to pray for our needs. Spiritual and physical, our life need. He wants us to pray. And you know, he's our Lord and God. He knows what we need and he'll provide for us. But he doesn't just want to say, oh, I know you're going to give it to me. And don't pray at all. But he actually wants us to pray. So this is an instruction to the disciple. Next. It says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us as our debts. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So the debt referring here, we believe means sin, because in Luke 11:4, it says the same thing. Why don't you read 11:4 for us?
Okay.
Luke 11:4.
Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us.
Okay, so this is the Luke version of the same verse. So forgive us our sins as we also have forgiven
everyone who sins
against us. So, you know, what category would this be in the PACS acronym? Confession. So Jesus teaches us to confess of our sin, but not just simply confess of our sin. As much as we confess of our sins, you know, he wants us to forgive other people who sins against us. So it's somehow coupled together. We can't just ask God to forgive our sins and then, I don't forgive you, Jeremy. Conrad, I don't forgive you. You know? If I don't forgive Ed, Yvonne, I always forgive.
Oh, what? What?
Sexism.
Oh.
Favoritism.
Oh, boy.
But if I don't forgive others, and I ask Jesus, forgive me, you know what he's going to say? Go forgive others. Oh. Go forgive others first. So that actually is mentioned here. In verse 14, read verse 14.
Matthew 6.
Yeah.
Okay. Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
So if we forgive others, then heavenly Father will forgive us. We'll talk more about that, but I just wanted to highlight, you know, the importance of confession. Daily confession as we forgive others. And you could kind of imagine, if you sin in a daily basis and don't confess your sin, what do you think will happen? Your heart will become hardened, and maybe your mind will start getting confused. Because you start believing, you know, when you sin and don't confess, it allows the enemy to even project lies. And our mind might become blinder, you know? So you could just think of the opposite of not confessing our sins will hinder our relationship with other people, relationship with God, and yeah, maybe with other people. So it's like, you know, if I did, you know, Ed over there, you know, I sinned against Ed by, like, you know, stealing his lunch. Wow. And in my weakness, I ate his lunch. And then I come to see him the next day, pretending like nothing happened. But then my conscience is like convicting me. Oh. And if I come to God and start praying, you know, I don't think that's a good place to be to pray to God. But if I ask, you know, Ed, Brother Ed, would you? Hey, you know what? It was me. I stole your lunch. And because I was weak in my flesh, I ate your lunch. You know, and so anyway, if I didn't confess to you, I don't think I could look at your face every day. So I need to ask for your forgiveness in order to be a freedom. Having received forgiveness, I can, you know, fellowship with you again, right? But of course, Ed being so gracious, he will forgive me. And he'll even offer the next day's lunch.
Whoa! Nice.
But anyway, so you get the point. So confession is definitely something Jesus wants us to be part of our prayer life. So daily confession at the end of the day is a good idea. And also accepting the Lord's forgiveness. Next. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What is this? Which category is this? Supplication. It's still supplication. You're asking, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But then again, does God tempt?
No.
No, he doesn't tempt. So, I think it's more referring to, again, sin. Lead us not into sin. Lead us not into temptation where we will fall into sin. So basically a prayer for protection. Protection. And similarly, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. So it could be referred to as even tempting situation, a testing situation, a sin situation. But none of those things, temptation, sin, or testing, will come to you beyond what you can bear. So it's a promise from God that he will provide a way out and so that you can stand under it. It's God's plan that he will not let us be tempted, tested, you know, even in danger of sin beyond what we can bear. That means everything we experience, we can overcome. Does it make sense? But he wants us to pray just the same. We know he will not let that happen, but say, God, keep us from temptation. Deliver us from evil. Put a hedge of protection around us. God, we know you will do this, but then I pray to you, lead me not into temptation that I will fall into. You know? Well, you know, Jesus prayed this prayer too. Do you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, or you know, night before he was to be arrested, the night he was arrested? Let's look at what is it? Luke 22:40-46. What does that say? Okay, Ed, maybe you can read that for us. Luke 22:40-46.
And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, Not my will, but yours be done.
Mm.
There appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly.
Mm.
And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation."
Mm. Wow. So this is a Jesus's call for us to pray so that we will not fall into temptation. Actually, praying, even the hour that, you know, Jesus rebukes them for, could you not pray an hour, you know? Pray that you would not fall into temptation. So prayer is a means of not falling into temptation. So when we don't pray, we're not alert. And we could fall into temptation, testing, sin, because our minds are not alert, you know? And I'm sure those of you who were in faith many years, you've personally experienced this, right? When you pray more, you're more alert spiritually. You make less mistakes, and you're alert about how Satan is trying to deceive you when you pray. So Jesus, you know, he says, "Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done." So he actually even made supplication. This cup is difficult, Lord. I'm going to be crucified tomorrow, you know? And then he says, if possible, in the flesh, it is too difficult. It's a very overwhelming thing. And it's okay to acknowledge our struggles. But you always have to have but. Not that things will be done according to my natural feeling, but not my will, but your will be done. So asking God to lead us not to temptation, deliver us from evil, is similar to the way Jesus prayed in the night before he was to be crucified. And he even prayed more. After the angel gave him strength, he even prayed more. As like the sweat turned out to be like a drop of blood. Wow. I heard that, you know, what is it? Biologically or physically, that is possible when you're overly stressed, that blood could possibly come out of your pores. You know, so he was feeling the weight of the burden of the difficulty that he will face. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. But he's praying, Lord, lead me not into temptation, deliver me from evil, but not my will, but your will be done. So it is okay to ask God for protection and strength from temptations, from testings, from sin. And he wants us to pray to the point of even shedding blood. To the point, I think, you know, I don't think that connects with Jesus's blood, but then in Hebrews it says, you did not resist sin to the point of shedding blood. But he wants us to pray that much, the point of shedding blood. Okay, and then, if this is a supplication, the last one is what? For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm tempted to say forever and ever because there's another version. The other version says forever and ever. Amen. So what is this?
Adoration.
It starts with adoration and ends with adoration. Did you notice that this is Jesus' teaching on prayer? We don't go through acts like adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. We end in supplication. But that's not in the Lord's Prayer. You start with adoration, supplication, right? Supplication, confession, and then adoration. You know, when we confess sin, I said, let's do TCT. Thanksgiving, confession, thanksgiving. Because if you just end with confession, you just focus on your sin and you stop. That's not a good way to end the prayer. You want to give thanks to the Lord, you confess your sin, but you want to end with thanksgiving. In the Lord's Prayer, he started with adoration, praising God, and then he ended with praising God. We need to sandwich our prayer with praise, with praise. PPP. PPP is praise, prayer, and praise. Okay, well, there it is. That's the Lord's teaching. But you know what? He still gives us one more kind of like warning, which is the verse afterwards we read. Let's all read it together. Verse 14. Let's read it together. Verse 14. Ready, get set, go.
Forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Mm.
So essentially, you know, when you ask for forgiveness and you don't forgive others, that means essentially God will not hear your prayer. God will not hear your prayer if you don't forgive others. Take care of the unresolved, you know, relationship, unresolved issues with others. Mm. And it says it in another passage right there. Mm. Next one is, read that together. Matthew 5:23-24. Ready, set, go.
So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift.
Mm. Well, if you don't forgive others, if you don't forgive other people's trespasses against you, it means you're not reconciled. And it says in Matthew that when you're bringing an offering at the altar, you know, offering here means, you know, some kind of financial offering, or, you know, it could be animal offering or whatever offering that they have. Bringing it to God as a thanksgiving offering. Jesus did the sin offering, so this is thanksgiving offering. But if you remember, either you have something against somebody else or somebody has something against you, leave the offering. Go make peace. Then you come back and God will take your offering or even prayer. So this teaching is, this is how you pray. But you need to take care of your reconciliation business in order for your prayer to be heard. Does that make sense? So we should not pray like the Pharisees with, you know, glorious public prayers. And we shouldn't babble like the Gentiles in insincere prayer. But we need to be sincere. But we also need to pray forgiving others, reconciling with others in order for our prayer to be heard before God. Great. We need to praise God. We need to make high supplication, lesser supplication, confession, more supplication, and with the praise. This is a great prayer, different prayers we want to pray. But in order for these prayer to be heard, we need to do it in the private. Be sincere. And make sure we're reconciled with others. And I think this refers to not only reconciliation, but other obediences. If God is calling us to obey, that's what we need to be doing. Mm-hmm. And this one, Isaiah 58 talks about, what is a true fasting? True fasting is not what, fasting is prayer, right? Fasting and prayer, right? Fasting is not throwing ashes onto your head. You know, say, I am fasting. I am praying. But God said, this is the fasting I want. Go, you know, clothe the naked, feed the poor, you know, don't, you know, take advantage of your workers. Obey. And it says your healing will come quickly. So more than fasting prayer, God is looking for obedience. And this forgiving other is one of those obedience. So it seems like in order for our prayers to be more sincere and quality and a prayer that will be heard, we need to also work on our obedience life. Obedience life. Amen? So I hope in your young days that you will, you know, catch a fire for prayer and have an awesome prayer life and experience God abundantly and richly by not only praying to God, but also living a life of obedience. Amen? And then I would say God is going to bless you with, you know, amazing experience of God and also great answer prayers. Great answer prayers. You know, in our early Bible study with Kaushik and Bing Chin and Kevin, we used to share a lot of answer prayers. Guys, we gotta have some more answer prayer. Let's share more. Are you praying specifically still? Let's pray specifically and receive answer prayer. Kaushik, who gave you your PhD?
The Lord Jesus.
Yes, God.
Yeah. Well, why did God give it to you? Because you prayed.
Yeah, maybe.
He says, yeah, maybe.
Maybe? Did you say maybe? Of course not. Uh-oh. I think Kaushik needs to repent of a little doubt of maybe. It's an amazing testimony we don't want to forget. And may we all have, you know, an amazing prayer life, experience of God, and experience of answered prayers. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this evening of focus on prayer and how we can grow a prayer life. Thank you for teaching us your model of how to pray and just even a posture in our life. How do we prepare ourselves in the secret with sincerity and obedience that we would come to you, Lord God.